Broadcasting live from the Bank 59 studios at the ultimate crossroads of business and community, the Wisconsin State Fair. It's time for the Upswing on WTMJ. Now, in for Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Scafidi.
Oh, a little bonus Scafidi on this beautiful Friday at the Wisconsin State Fair, broadcasting live from the Bank 59 studios. And we have special guests, which I'm very excited about. And I had Lasser and Scholes, who is the, I'm going to give the official title, coordinator, Wisconsin State Fair Dairy Promotion Board. And here's the cool thing. Your parents are right outside. I met them a few weeks ago. Lovely people, as are you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. But our really, really special guest, Alice in Dairyland, Haley Heinzel, is here.
Thank you for having me on.
I saw you walk by yesterday, and we couldn't snag you quickly enough. So when you came with Anna, I was like, we got to get her on the program. All right, so we've got to ask the obvious question. How does one become Alice in Dairyland?
So it is quite a long, rigorous, but extremely rewarding process. It's about a 5 to 6 month interview process. It started in January of this year and culminated in May in the host county. They do a different county every year. So this year it was Door County. We ended with a 3-day partially public job interview that included speeches, media interviews, and 6 industry tours. And then at the end of that process, Alice is selected.
Was there a physical challenge? An obstacle course? Anything like that? Running around like milk things or
not quite. We were on a couple different farms, and so some of that, you know, you got to step around certain things, but nothing too crazy and physical.
When we were talking before you came on, I always thought you had to have like this dairy farm background, but you don't have to do that.
No. So I'm originally from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, which is a pretty urban
area.
Shout
out to Oconomowoc.
Yeah. Woo. pretty urban area. I did not grow up on a farm. And so I got into agriculture through the FFA organization in high school. I milked a cow for the first time in 2018, set my life on a new path towards learning everything I could.
Was it the milking of the cow that changed your direction, or was it just a cool thing you did?
I honestly think it was the milking of the cow.
Really?
Yes. The last 6 years, I spent a majority of my time in the dairy industry, but I take any opportunity to learn anything I can about agriculture.
And how do you know Ann?
I met Ann through working at Dairy Lane. I started that 2 summers ago. So I was teaching fairgoers about the $45.6 billion dairy industry in our state, and I was milking cows here at the state fair, which was a lot of fun.
And I don't know if I ever told you this, but I like Ann because, one, she brings stuff. But, two, she's a really nice person, and I got to know her a little bit because we spent some time on the show last year. She brings the grilled cheese sandwiches, which are fantastic, in the Wisconsin Pavilion. And I'll let you, we're going to talk after Alice leaves here, or I should say Haley. But you brought cheese samples as well. So that's a geeky part of this. So when you're doing your job,
yes,
what are you doing?
So I am all over the fairgrounds. I'm kind of hard to track down. If you want to know exactly where I am, you can find Flat Alice, which
is there an Alice tracker?
Flat Alice is in Dairy Lane, so she's a cardboard cutout of me, and she's got a little sign that'll tell you exactly where I am. But sometimes you'll find me over in Dairy Lane helping with the milking demonstrations and talking to fairgoers. At 1 o'clock p.m., I'll be in the Wisconsin Products Pavilion giving a presentation on Wisconsin dairy, and I'll be all over the fairgrounds enjoying the shows and meeting exhibitors.
You are a great communicator, and that's got to be you mentioned you have to do speeches and stuff. That's got to be a big part of what you do, just telling people about dairy and Wisconsin. That's got to be a kick to do that.
Absolutely. I have so much fun doing media and speeches and meeting so many people.
So how much walking around do you do each day at the fair?
Quite a bit. I think yesterday I was at like 17,000 steps.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. It's quite a bit of walking back and forth, seeing everybody. It's a lot of fun.
Well, here's the thing. You could almost eat whatever you want when you do 17,000 steps every
day. Yeah.
Did you have a grilled cheese sandwich? I had a Swiss cheese grilled cheese yesterday. Fantastic.
Personally, my favorite is the cheddar, but they have some great feature flavors coming next week, too, with different cheeses every day to try. So that's very exciting.
And we were talking about this during the break. There's a couple places on a hot day where you can cool off. One is the Wisconsin Pavilion, the Cream Puff Pavilion, certainly at our studios here at 620 WTMJ in the Fishbowl, and at the, what's the one next to this?
Grand Champion Hall,
which is amazing, by the way. If you're a fan of landscape flowers and all that, it looks spectacular. All right, so I'm going to ask you this before we let you go, because you have like obligation after obligation. When you're not doing the Alice in Dairyland thing, your favorite thing to do at the fair?
My favorite thing to do at the fair. I really do love watching the shows. That's something I'm really featuring this week. If you want to follow along on Alice's adventures during the state fair, you can check me out on Facebook and Instagram. I'm doing lots of Facebook Lives.
All right. Haley Heinzel, we're going to let you go. We're going to break here. And then the terrific Ann Schultz, I'm going to taste a cheese sandwich because you brought the cheddar with you today, right? And we'll talk about some of the other great cheese things and all the great happenings with all the cool stuff at the Wisconsin State Fair. We are broadcasting live from the Bank 5-9 studio. Thank you, Haley.
Thank you for having me.
Have a great rest of your day. Ann will stick around. Lots more to get to on the upswing. Don't forget the great folks at Horicon Bank who are making this all possible. And we got to say to Jeff Sherman, enjoy the day off. More after this. Not to chew on the air, so I ate some of the great cheddar cheese grilled sandwich that Ann Schultz brought us. She's the coordinator of Wisconsin State Fair Dairy Promotion Board. Your lovely parents are outside. Give them a shout out.
Good morning. Yeah, Mark and Mary Hunink of Cedar Grove, Wisconsin. They're sitting right standing right behind me here.
And I talked to them a couple of weeks ago, and your dad was telling me about the farm, and they sold the cows and all that stuff.
About a year ago. I've been listening to 620, this radio station, since I was able to hear.
Youngster?
Yes.
All right. So you're all about the cheese. Let's tell people, because if you don't know this, and I don't know how you cannot know this, but you can go to the Wisconsin Pavilion anytime the fair is open and get a great grilled cheese sandwich. Yesterday they had cheddar and Swiss. What do they got going today?
So today we have cheddar and Swiss again. So
Swiss is amazing, and so is the cheddar. I just had like 3 bites of it.
Yeah. We are having the cheddar and the Swiss all weekend, and next week we're bringing in some specialty flavors. So plan out your trips to the fair. We're going to have some blue ribbon cheese grilled cheese sandwiches.
Are we announcing what they might be?
We're going to talk about it. Monday we're going to have pepper jack, which is always a fan favorite.
Which is my favorite cheese.
Yes, it is a fan favorite.
Monday, and I'll be here Monday.
Monday, perfect. Come on over.
All right.
And then Tuesday we're going to have a smoky pepper fontal cheese, and that's from Lake...
You're like speaking to me today.
I know, yes, 2 days in a row. So that's from Lake Country Dairy, Schumann Cheese, all the way over in Turtle Lake, Wisconsin. So if you've never seen these cheeses, they are truly a work of art. So cheese making is a science, but really it's also an art too. So these are wheels of cheese, short wheels of cheese. So that means they're not very tall, maybe 2 or 3 inches tall. And they are hand rubbed with these flavorings and spices. So they are just phenomenal. You can get them at Kroger's, Sam's Clubs, different areas around here.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Wisconsin cheeses are the best in the world because we win a lot of awards.
Wisconsin cheese does win more awards than any other state or country.
How is that not talked about more?
I know. Yeah. So we really do have some of the best cheese and the best cheesemakers right here in Wisconsin.
All right. So let's talk about I'm always curious about the numbers. Do you know like how many sandwiches you're going to sell today?
We will probably sell hopefully about 5,000 sandwiches 5, today.
5,000 grilled cheese sandwiches. So I never watched the process. They have like the loaves of bread. Is that how it is? It boxes of bread? What happens there?
We are all about putting out as many sandwiches as we can. So yeah, everything is a process. It's kind of an assembly line. So we have a buttering station, we have a grilling station, we have a bagging station, and then the sandwich goes out to the consumers. So it's really an industrial process, so to speak.
I'm guessing cheddar is the most popular, right?
Oh, for sure.
Why is that?
I think it's just the most well-known. Cheddar is very versatile. It's what most people have in the refrigerator at home.
I would pick Swiss before cheddar.
And they're both good melters, too. So
I guess it's like the kind of pasta you like. You know, some people like the manicottis or the rigatoni. Some people like the angel hair. It's different. Everybody's different.
Yep, that's right.
All right, so I asked Haley this question. When you're not being the coordinator of all the dairy stuff, what are you enjoying at the fair? Your parents are here. Are you going to hang out with your parents today?
I might have a chance to hang out with my parents, but I truly do love the Wisconsin Products Pavilion. It's just so neat to see all the different things that are coming out of Wisconsin. And, you know, we're leading the nation in a lot of these things, too.
So let's talk about some of the things that are in there. I know you can get a bison buffalo sandwich. You can get pizza. There's I think it's Portese is the pizza provider, vendor. There's other things. Walk us through some of the things in the pavilion, which is also, by the way, AC'd.
Yeah, so, you got your fruits like cherries, cranberries, apples, you said potatoes.
Baked potato!
Cattlemen's are in there. Pork producers are also there. And there's also, we are in there with shakes. You can get a chocolate or vanilla shake. And we're partnering with the Wisconsin State Fair Park Foundation. So all the money raised in the shake shop and the Real Wisconsin Cheese Grill, we are reinvesting that back into the fair in dairy education and capital investments into the fair.
Do you ever get tired of talking about cheese?
No. I'm from Wisconsin.
I know,
it's in my blood.
Everybody reaches a point, but you I can tell you love your job because I've met you now for 2 years and talked to you. You are fully embracing the culture of cheese in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and we also have a dairy products contest here at the fair, so you can see those winners. The first, second, and third place winners are on display in the Wisconsin Products Pavilion, and that's one of the ones that I brought with me here. So the spicy beer from Pine River.
All of these are. I get to keep these?
You get to keep these.
Oh my goodness!
So this was actually a blue ribbon winner this year.
Pine River spicy beer cold pack cheese.
It is phenomenal. They're available in a lot of different retailers. Check them out. Great company, great family.
I see your engineer John eyeing up my cheese here, thinking that he might get his hands on it. We'll have to negotiate that. But yeah, I always appreciate you stopping by. We'll see you next year as well. You'll probably see me around the fair, and you will see me in the Wisconsin Pavilion, because in moments, when I'm done here at 11, my wife Kathy and I, we will go get a cheese sandwich in the Wisconsin Pavilion.
So. We'll see you there.
Ann Schultz, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Steve.
We are broadcasting live from the Bank 5-9 studio, Wisconsin State Fair, 620 WTMJ. I don't typically chew while I'm on the air, but I'm eating the rest of my cheese sandwich, so bear with me. All right. Not easy to do, by the way. We're broadcasting live from the Bank 5-9 studios at the Wisconsin State Fair. All right, swallow. Okay, so I'm going to do something, even though it's the upswing, and Jeff Sherman is off today. If you're wondering where Jeff is, he will be back on Tuesday. I'll be doing a bonus hour on Monday's show as well. So some bonus graffiti for you from the Wisconsin State Fair. It is gorgeous out here. The sun's shining, and we had Ann Schultz and Haley, the Allison Dairyland winner, or not winner, but the current representative from Alice in Dairyland. And it's sort of the celebration of the culture of the Wisconsin State Fair. But I'm going to talk about something else because I wanted to point you in the direction of the podcast. So I do three podcasts a week, two for Decision Wisconsin, which are politically related in the world of politics. And then I do a Scafidiology, which is every Friday morning we publish it. And wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, WTMJ.com, wherever that is, we got a great one this week. I had a chance to sit down with author James Patterson. He's written hundreds of books, one of the most celebrated American authors, and it was a great, rousing conversation. And it started with a conversation about golf. He had a chance to interview and talk to Tiger Woods and look at his life in golf. So he's got a new book out, and it's a fascinating look at Tiger Woods and all the, you know, drama and certainly the life of one of America's most celebrated golfers. But we got around to talking about his opportunity on a couple occasions to golf with the former President Donald Trump. And if you haven't heard this, you got to listen to the podcast, because one of the questions I asked him was, is he really a good golfer? And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, yeah, he's kind of good. I said, is he club champion good? He said, yes, like a 4-6 handicap. And anybody who golfs know that if you're anything under 10 is really good. I mean, and anything in the 4-6 range is pretty, pretty good. So I thought it was fascinating because it's a part of a bigger story. When we talk about celebrities or politicians, elected officials, whatever term you want to use, there's always these corollary questions swirling around. Is he really a good golfer? Does he cheat at golf? And James Patterson, author James Patterson, who I trust, and whether it's the Alex Cross books or some of the recent stuff he's done that are vastly different, including a book that I read recently on Las Vegas, a city that I love, he offered a perspective that you don't hear in the media. The media, sort of the talking points are, yeah, he's winning these championships, but he's cheating. I'm not at the championships, and I'm not at the golf course. But when someone like James Patterson tells me he's a pretty good golfer, I'm going to believe him. Regardless of all that, check it out on the podcast page. Go to WTMG.com, Decision Wisconsin, or Scafidiology, which is what we do every Friday. And there's all kinds of different conversations that we've done. We've had planetarium directors. We've had some of the ambassadors in Milwaukee, like Martin Moore, who you hear on the airways occasionally, especially Thursdays with Jeff Sherman on the upswing. Or even Andy Tarnoff, who's going to join me, I think, Monday in the 10 o'clock hour when I'm doing the upswing for Jeff Sherman. All of these sort of great conversations that don't necessarily revolve around politics. That's part of what we try to do every week. So check them out. Easy to find wherever you get your podcasts. And certainly, certainly, certainly give the other podcasts, which every show, as far as I know, that we do on WTMJ, every conversation, every interview, for the most part, is available for you to listen to when you want to. And that's a great feature. And I was talking to somebody off mic, because there's people always milling around the fishbowl, as we call it here at the State Fair Park Bank 5-9 studio, that they often don't get a chance to hear things, you know, live. And that's the world we live in. Everybody's busy. Everybody's doing things. And they find these interviews and they find these shows on the podcast page. So utilize the resource. It's a great one. And it's one that I think a lot of, let me just say, the older folks out there in our audience, and there's some of you out there, and we got a younger audience every day on WTMJ, which I appreciate, is maybe not podcast, sort of, that's not their world. It's easy to do. I can do it. And I'm not a tech-savvy guy by any stretch of the imagination. Find the podcast. And we've all clicked on a website. Go to WTMJ.com. Can't be any simpler than that. Click on the website. Find the podcast tab. Click on that. And then all the podcasts, there's a little image of all of them. You click on that, and you're on your way. That's about the easiest primer I can give to you on how to listen to our great podcast. All the shows, all the talent, all the interviews, all the stuff that I do, all available 24/7, 365. All right. After the break for news, local and the latest from ABC, we're going to be talking to, hopefully, the PR person from the Wisconsin State Fair. I think it's Christy. She's been on some of the other shows. I always have the unconventional questions about the fair. I'm curious about a lot of things. But I want to ask her some unconventional questions about this year's fair. What's changed? Maybe that's, we'll start with that. And then beyond that, just some of the goofy things that happened at Wisconsin State Fair. I want to hear the behind-the-scenes stuff. I want to hear, not the dirt, not the dirt. There's no dirt. It's the Wisconsin State Fair. We're all here to have fun and eat. I just had a cheese sandwich, for Pete's sake. That's our goal. Eat, drink, and be merry. I'm not the first person that said that. All right, so that's coming up after the news break. Lots of fun. We are broadcasting live from the Bank 5-9 studio at the Wisconsin State Fair. If you don't know where that is, right across from the Cream Puff Pavilion, just north, less than a half a block from the Wisconsin Expo, where all those great events happen throughout the year, not just State Fair. The information booth is right next door. So if you're asking a question, you can wander over. We have all these glass windows for our studio. Having fun at the fair. Gorgeous day. Come on out. No reason not to. We only do it once a year. You got to be out here today. Gorgeous day. Picture perfect day. I think that's my cue, the upswing. Jeff Sherman is off today, but I don't care because I get to do a bonus hour at the Wisconsin State Fair, broadcasting live at Bank 5-9 Studios, and another special guest. The guests and the hits just keep on coming. I talked to you last year, Christy Chuckle, Director of Public Affairs for the Wisconsin State Fair. Always great to see you.
Thank you.
You're always smiling. So
I am. I try.
That means things are going well?
They are going well. Yesterday started out great.
It was
didn't
great to
end
start.
Ideally, but it was still a good day.
I don't want to dwell on the weather, but that was a big weather event. So from your perspective, I mean, one, you got a lot of things happening at the same time. You got to get people moved around. How did you deal with that opening night?
So I was telling you before, we have the National Weather Service here on site.
Love that, by the way, because my dad's a meteorologist.
Mm-hmm. And they're wonderful. We have an emergency operations center that is not the police. You know, they have a emergency center, too. But it's a separate one for our staff. The National Weather Service sits in there, helps us monitor weather. We're wonderful last night. You know, we were watching it thinking it would stay north, and finally realized that was not happening. So it was pretty quick decision making. The first thing we do is get everyone off the rides. I mean, that's the most important when lightning's in the area. So get them off of the sky glider, get them off of the rides, get them off of the giant slide, and get them out of the grandstands.
The good news is you've had protocols in place for all this stuff. So
Absolutely.
You know what to do. Not like your first rodeo. You've been doing this for 15 years.
Yes. We spend a lot of time planning for this. We spend a lot of time talking about weather and how we can get people out as quickly as possible.
So I was here probably 7-ish. I always get here early. I don't start till 9, but I kind of want to get a sense of the fair. But here's what impressed me. So all that rain, there was a lot of rain. The grounds are fantastic, including the grassy area. It's not muddy. You can walk around. I walked around the grassy area. You don't get, your feet aren't dirty. Your shoes aren't dirty. That's a testament to how the grounds have been improved over the years.
It is. We also spend a lot of time thinking about asphalt and various things here and drainage. But it is. It's a big part of the experience. And we know we're going to get rain at some point. We can't have people coming in the next day walking through puddles.
All right. So I'm going to ask you some geeky questions.
Okay.
So I notice things. Okay. So I've been coming here since I was a little kid, and I'm 65 now. So that's a while. I noticed that you've eliminated steps or curbs.
Yes.
Everything's flat now.
Yes.
Smart move.
Accessibility for everyone.
Yeah.
So important. Every year we make improvements. This, you know, State Fair Park was basically built as a little city, which is wonderful. We have all these streets, but we had all of these curbs, very dangerous trip hazards, people in wheelchairs and on scooters. It was a big problem. So we're constantly trying to make sure we put the roll curbs in, flatten things out, make things level so that it's safe for everyone.
The other thing I noticed, and I'm not sure that this has changed in the last couple of years, but well, two things. Flowers are amazing. I told CEO Sherry Black that the other day. It's like that is a noticeable change. It was always good, but it's spectacular now. And I see the kids out here at like 6:37 watering them.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are involved in that process?
That's
the called flowers.
That's our flower crew. That's their name. There's, oh my gosh, I don't know, probably 30 of them. And they've been working all summer. So we start planting
these.
They're
growing all this stuff.
Yep. So Jill on our team manages all of that. She does a phenomenal job. And that whole flower crew comes out every day. They do all the plantings. They do all the watering. They are on top of it.
Christy Chuckle joining us. She's Director of Public Affairs for Wisconsin State Fair. The other one I was talking about is places to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
There's tables and benches and little just stones you can just sit your butt down. If you're hot or you're tired, you can sit for a minute or two.
And I love that you notice this stuff because these are huge initiatives of ours. And if you think about back in the day, we had those curbs and people would always sit on the curb,
well, there's
eating
a parade,
their food.
A parade going through.
Right. So that's great and fine, but we are looking always for places where we can improve the experience of the fairgoer and having shaded, nice seating to come and sit down and just be with the people you're with is a huge initiative. So I really appreciate that you actually notice those things.
I'm a geek. I said I noticed that stuff. My dad was a meteorologist, so I have that kind of a brain. All right, so when you show up at work, and you're here early,
mm-hmm.
probably before 7?
Well, yesterday, yeah. Very early. Yeah. Today, not as early.
So, like, what are the main things you're doing during the day? Because I'm always curious. Everybody has titles. Everyone has jobs. I saw Sherry Black was, like, in the middle of the mall here talking to somebody on a setup.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing during the day?
Honestly, it varies. I mean, everyone has very specific jobs. My job, right, I used to do media. I used to be on with you guys all the time. Yeah. That ended a couple years ago. I moved into a different position, more in administration.
So you missed us, basically.
I did. I really wanted to come back. No, Tess, our PR director, had a baby, so congrats to her. So I get to step back in and have a little fun with you guys. But everyone has a specific job. We've got our facilities team. We have our events team. We obviously have administration, finance, all of those things. But it's all hands on deck when it comes to the fair. So what's so great about our staff is, like last night when it's that weather comes in, everybody's helping wherever they can.
It starts from the top. I have had numerous opportunities to talk to Sherry Black, and great leader for a great organization and a great fair. It's one of the best. I've been all over the country. This is one of the best fairs around. It looks spectacular now. There was some years, decades ago, where it looked a little worn down. It doesn't look like that anymore. It's vibrant. It's exciting. It's colorful. And it's well planned and well laid out. So kudos to all you guys for getting that straightened out and smoothed out.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right. I always ask people this question when they come in from the fair. So you have your job, and then you have just your, you know, you're a fan of the fair. Like, what do you have to eat during the fair? What would be something? Don't say cream puff, because everybody says
it's that. It's not cream puff for me, actually. Okay. I mean, I like cream puffs, but I have enough before the fair starts, yeah. So I don't need them during
the fair.
That's
like a year-round thing for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a specific thing. I do love cheese curds, I have to say. So we always do that, and the best ones are here. But I like to try a couple of the new things, and then I just go around with my kids and get all the good staples that they love.
All right, I lied. One more question. What's your best advice for someone coming to the fair?
Plan ahead and come early. And if you can take a day off work, come during the week. I mean, we love that our weekends are packed, but everyone knows they're packed. The weekdays are so nice. You can get around. You can see everything. You can go in the barns. You can catch some entertainment and get all the food you want and not wait in line for the bathroom.
Great advice. Great Director of Public Affairs, Christy Chuckle. Great to see you again.
You too.
Thanks for coming in. We are broadcasting live from the Bank 5-9 studio at Wisconsin State Fair. Great conversation coming up. Author, Brian Reisinger, I had to think about it for a second, wrote a great book about farms, and that's never been more relevant than when we were sitting at the Wisconsin State Fair, and some of the challenges for farmers. He'll tell you that story, tell you about his book. That's all coming up on The Upswing right here on 620 WTMJ. I couldn't believe I forgot my next guest's name because I've known him for a while. Brian Reisinger joins us. His new book, Land Rich, Cash Poor, Untold History of the Disappearing American Farmer. What a better place to talk about it. Can't be a better place than the Wisconsin State Fair. Brian joins us on the WTMJ hotline. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I am good. So We always enjoy our conversations. You've written for the Journal Sentinel. You've written op-eds on a lot of issues. But this is one that's really close to your heart with your personal story. So tell our audience, tell the fans here at State Fair, what your story lends to the book that you just wrote.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on, first of all, and for being down at the State Fair. I know I joined you there last year. I think it's so great that you guys are down there. Yeah, it's awesome that you guys do that. So I appreciate it. And, you know, for us, my story, my family story, fits into this national crisis in ways that honestly was really surprising to me. We're a four-generation farm in southern Wisconsin, and it started when my great-grandpa fled war-torn Europe to come for a better life. And it went on through the Depression and on up through today. And I knew some of those basics, and I knew it was an interesting family history. What I didn't know until I started talking to my dad and I started talking to people from my grandpa's generation, siblings who grew up in the Great Depression, and other people in the community and also experts in this time period all throughout, I didn't realize how much our family story lined up with the roots of this crisis. We've lost 45,000 farms per year on average for the past century. And what we found with the book is we traced the economic, the social, the technological, and the policy-based reasons for that. And I was shocked the way they lined up with our family story, kind of fighting for survival here in the fields of southern Wisconsin.
So, first of all, is that survivable? Can we continue to see the decline of the family farm? I know that the big farms are sort of taking over in a lot of places, not just Wisconsin. But is that unique nature, you talked about the story, the immigrant story, people fleeing Europe to come here to start their farms and passing it on generation to generation, is it survivable in the current environment?
It's a great question. We cannot continue to have it happen because it is impacting our food supply. But it is something that can be reversed, and where there's still hope. And the reason I say there's still hope is there are still more than 2 million farms in this country, and more than 96% of them are family-owned. So that means we've got millions of resilient families still trying to farm. Some of them are running farms that aren't profitable anymore. They've become land-rich, cash-poor. Some of them are on the edge. Some of them are hobby farms that are on the side where someone would love it to be their full-time work, but they can't. It has to be supplemental income because it's not profitable. Some of them are larger, and they've done that to survive and get scale to be able to do that. I get into the size question a little bit and talk about some misnomers, I think, on that debate, which I can get into. But the point is there's all of these farms of all different sizes that are family-owned, people trying to do what was possible when my great-grandfather came here. Is a huge entrepreneurial opportunity buried in the ground. And so there's a lot of opportunity for us to turn this around, but we can't continue it because food prices, the vulnerability of our supply chain, all kinds of problems are tied to the fact that each year we're losing more and more farms.
We're talking to Brian Reisinger. He wrote Land Rich, Cash Poor, new book. He's launching it August 20th in Milwaukee at Boswell Book Company. And it's actually a great, great night because Mike Goucher is going to moderate the conversation. So I'm going to try to be there. For the folks who say this, well, food's expensive. Why don't the small farmers, why aren't they benefiting from that? That's maybe that's one of those misnomers that confuses people.
Yeah, absolutely. And the issue is that we have a large, sophisticated economy, and some of it is understandable, and some of it involves some players that are problematic. And I want to differentiate between those. So, you know, a large, sophisticated economy means there's a lot of people between the farm gate and the dinner table. And some of those people are necessary. We need people who are going to be buying food ingredients. We need people who are going to be manufacturing, processing food. We need people to distribute that food. We need people to sell that food in grocery stores and other places. What I found in the book is not that we have too much of that necessarily, but we need more of it. We need more diverse pathways for food to get to people. Because what happened in COVID, for example, is whether because of the virus shutting things down or because of the reaction of the virus shutting things down, a lot of these big channels that we had for distributing our food were bottlenecked, right? So you had farmers desperately trying to sell their products, and you had customers desperately wanting them, and there was a disconnect there. And so food prices went up and all kinds of problems happened. And so that was kind of the issue, the example of what happens with farmers not necessarily benefiting from higher food prices. That was that issue on steroids. Now, there are bad actors in it, like China, that have been buying food and getting America to be captive, and then they stop buying, and they make the price really volatile. So there's that stuff in there, too.
He's Brian Reisinger. His new book, Land Rich, Cash Poor. I know you go to boswellbooks.com. You got the upcoming event, August 20th, 6:30. Moderated by Mike Goucher. You can also find your book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble online, or check with your favorite bookstore. Brian, always great to talk to you. Let's talk more down the road, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Steve. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And that's a great, great resource. You want to learn more about that story, because as we sit here at the Wisconsin State Fair, local farmers, small farmers in the state of Wisconsin are struggling to meet their bills and you know, make their family budgets. Never been more challenging. And Brian knows that issue so well, having lived through that for generations on his family farm. Great, great stuff from Brian, my friend, Brian Reisinger. All right. It is 10:51. We are at the Wisconsin State Fair. Bank 5-9 Studios, having fun. The sun's shining. I already had a cheese sandwich. I'm feeling good about that decision, as I always do when I celebrate the best of Wisconsin. We had Ann Schultz, who was with us from the Wisconsin Pavilion. They're selling those cheese sandwiches. 5,000 a day. Enjoy the extra hour of airtime. I had to get my chops going for that extra 60 minutes of talking. But I love it, and I love being at the Wisconsin State Fair. We are broadcasting live from the Bank 5-9 studio. Matzik is making all kinds of noise behind me. I don't care, because I'm in a great mood. It's Friday, so and it's Greg Matzik. That's what he does. Anyway, get out to the fair. It is awesome out here. I will be back on Monday with another bonus hour for Jeff Sherman, who's taking a well-deserved time off break here for the long weekend. So I hope he's having fun. I hope you're having fun on this Friday. Some fair thoughts. We are right across from the Cream Puff Pavilion, but I have not had one yet. So that's something I'm thinking about. My wife Kathy's going to join me out here momentarily. We're going to go eat some things at the fair, which we always do. I've already had a grilled cheese sandwich, which is amazing. Thanks to Ann Schultz, who joined me. Thanks to Christy Chuckle, who was on the phone. We asked her all unconventional questions because she's on every show on our lineup, but she's awesome and fun to talk to. 15 years as the public affairs director here at the fair. And the cool part was, we were talking about that storm last night. That doesn't even faze the fair. Now, they had to cancel the show. They haven't done that in a long time. But they handle adversity really well. And I noticed these little things. I mentioned a couple of them, the flowers. The fact there's no curbs anymore where people used to sit on for parades. But now it's smooth. Anyone can get anywhere. Great for the versatility of people who maybe are challenged by some of that. The wheelchair certainly is one of the things that comes to mind. It's accessible for everybody. And that's the cool thing about the Wisconsin State Fair. I know that's a commercial for it, but I don't care. I love the fair. Enjoy it.